God's word for our consideration, for our encouragement, for our strength as we walk the path of life with our God, being led by Him as He gives us His hand, as we walk along that path of life that is strewn with many kinds of obstacles and hills and valleys. The church at Thessalonica was not unique. For that church was just like any church. Opinions and viewpoints and getting wrangled and arguing, things of those sorts. And yet the Apostle Paul writes to them. And he's writing here in the first chapter as he gathers them together and tells them basically who they are. And he tells us the same thing. So buried within this text begins, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, and okay, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Thus, God's word for our consideration this morning. I want you to think about the things of the earth, because we think about these things often and we wonder about it. So I'm going to ask you, if you had no money as object, how would you build the perfect house? How many square feet would that perfect house have? How many bathrooms would that house have? How many bedrooms? Would it have a swimming pool? A fenced-in yard? Would it have fireplaces in every room? If you were to pick out the perfect job, now I'm speaking to some retired people. That job is not even there. But how would you do that perfect job? What kind of hours would you work or play? Would you be remotely, or would you be in an office? Now, how do you design the perfect day? The perfect day has sunshine wall to wall, as they say. Is that what the perfect day is? How about the temperature? I know Karen and I disagree on temperature of a perfect day. Is it going to be the 70s, the 60s, maybe the 80s? What kind of day would you design? You probably wouldn't design to have it raining. So then the question is, how do you define the perfect Christian? Think about that. How do you design the perfect Christian? Is that perfect Christian walking around the earth with hands folded and a halo around the head? Is that perfect Christian always kneeling at the throne of God, giving up your prayers? Is that perfect Christian always sitting and reading the scriptures? Is that Christian always helping and encouraging everyone? And as you think about that perfect Christian, what's the perfect church? The perfect church is that we have church service at a time where everyone can agree. Is the perfect church the place where we hear your perfect hymns that I so love? What do you think? Here Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. Paul is writing to the church in Byron, Mount Moriah. Paul is writing to each and every one of us. as we have become imitators, followers of someone else. When we look at other people and other Christians, we try to mold them into our thinking and to our description. You see, other Christians aren't just like us. They should be one believers in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They should be the ones who honor life and forgiveness. They should endear the one message of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son into death so that all who believe in him shall not perish. Imitators, those who follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who have his hands, his mouth, his feet, and our Jesus with skin on. Imitators are those who follow, those who know who the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is and how precious he is. Believers and imitators, even though they have all those kinds of qualities and strengths, still are human. Those imitators of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ sometimes have words that are not very Christian. Words that emanate from our mouth toward other people or about people. Christians, believers, imitators are those people who are living here in the world and sometimes fall prey to those things in the world. Whether it's to have the nice house, or whether it's to have one of those vintage cars that are running around towns, or whether it's to be living in a mansion that costs millions of dollars, but it's so huge, who's going to clean it? Imitators, believers, Christians are those who live in dirty, filthy houses. I remember one shut-in that I would visit who always was thankful that I was there and bringing her communion. And you would look around the four walls that she called home, and the table was piled high of things. And you looked into the kitchen, and there were pots and pans and dishes and all of that all over the counters in the sink. And yet, this gal was a believer. She knew who Jesus was. And she needed that strength that Jesus gave in the sacrament. Believers and imitators of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are those who follow him and know what he is saying. And yet, the doubts creep in, like Thomas, when he was in the upper room. And the disciples said, you know, we've seen the Lord. And he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And a week later, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, come here, put your finger into my hands. Touch my hands and put your hand into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Imitators and believers of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ fall into all of these categories. Because we know the minute that we leave church, we will sin in thought, word, and deed. We will fall into that nasty way of life that we have always known. And yet we still believe. We still believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to this church in Thessalonica saying, you know who Jesus is, and you're imitating him. now become models. Models of that Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says to us, yes, be models of that Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who reached out to those who were ill and healed them. Who reached out to the lepers and healed them. Who lifted up his fellow disciples, even though one betrayed him and one denied him. The denier was still thought of as those who believed in him. Be a model. Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ and yet still proclaimed Jesus. Do you know how he died? How he was crucified? He wasn't crucified head up. He was crucified head down. Because to be crucified head up would have been like his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he felt like he couldn't because he denied Jesus. He says to us, be models. Be models of that Savior Jesus Christ. Forgive from your heart. Lift and encourage and give one hope in this life. Because we know that this world that we're living in seems to be crashing all around us. There's Korea that wants to threaten the world. There's China and Russia who are wanting to get together and destroy the world. There's terrorists everywhere around. There's the war that is starting to break out in the Middle East. All of God's children are in an uproar. Our tents are irritable. Well, we can blame on COVID. We can use that as an excuse. We can use the excuse of the stock market going up and down and get fuel prices rolling and tumbling and up and down. We can use all of those as excuses of our bad manner and behavior. But that all pushes aside to what really, really infects us. And that's sin. And because of sin, we are who we are. Because of sin, war rages. Because of sin, we say bad words to one another. Because of sin, we tend to push each other away. Even at the most desperate moments of life that we need people around us. Because of sin, we fall into temptation day after day. Because of sin, we need our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and lives and to wash that sin away. Remembering the publican and the tax collector standing in the temple. And the tax collector says, thank God I'm not like one of these. These one of terrible people of yours. Thank God. And the publican was standing just a little ways over, beating his breast and saying, thank God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because of sin, we need the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and dwell in our hearts and our lives. And as he washes away that sin, he lifts us up and he uses us. Those who have been imitators now become models. Those who are models show what forgiving love is and how we forgive one another through Jesus' death and glorious resurrection. This is the life that we have. And this is the life that we will have continually, being imitators and now models. And showing forth Jesus as Lord and Savior. Saying grace at meals. Gathering the family around and saying grace. That simple action shows how important our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ really is. And continues to be in our lives. This is an amazing life that we have, brothers and sisters in Christ. An amazing life that We have been brought in by holy baptism. And when the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, God grabbed us and pulled us in. God says, you're not alone anymore. God says, you are now my child. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. In the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor will the flames scorch you. For I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He says these wonderful words to us so that we know that we are part of him and part of you. We walk together in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because in him we have been redeemed. We have been restored. We have been given strength. As Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one who enables us to pray for one another. He is the one who enables us to speak words of comfort and hope to one another so that we can continue on in this life. In Christ's holy and gracious name, amen.